This is Raising the Bets, a podcast about a Catholic couple, five kids, and a great life. I'm Dom Bettinelli.
And I'm Melanie Bettinelli.
That's my wife. I'm your husband. This is our first episode of this podcast. Now, I have a bunch of podcasts that I do as part of the StarQuest production network, StarQuest Media, at sqpn.com, where you're finding this podcast. And I've been doing audio recording for many years, but this is the first time I've had Melanie on a podcast. Now, this is not the first time you've done a podcast.
That is correct. I have actually done a podcast before.
With our friend Pat Gohn.
Right. We talked about education and teaching the faith to small kids, but that was many years ago.
Yes.
In fact, I think it was at least 6 years ago because Lucia was a baby.
So let's talk about why we're doing this podcast. Why are we doing this podcast? This is a different kind of podcast than I've done before because this is a personal sort of podcast. All of my other podcasts are about TV shows and movies and the Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World about cool mysteries and technology and that sort of stuff. But this is a podcast that's more about us, about our life, our crazy things we do, our kids. And we thought we would share some of that with our community, the StarQuest community, but also we have a extensive community of friends online, in social media and through blogs that we've known for many years. So we want to talk to them too and sort of have this conversation, maybe grow our community of friends with some new listeners. So let's kind of start with what this podcast is, why we're doing it. Melanie, why are you doing this podcast?
Because you talked me into it, Dom.
Because I made her do it.
He twisted my arm and he gave me this look and I just couldn't resist.
Yes, that's how I got her to marry me.
Pretty much.
So we should probably start by introducing ourselves to the audience about who we are, where we come from. And I will go first since I'm much more comfortable with this than you are. So I am from the Boston area. I was born in Boston, grew up in the suburb Canton with my parents, Dominic Sr. and Virginia. And I have two brothers, two sisters, three half sisters, and an innumerable number of nieces and nephews at this point. I can never keep track. Something like 23, 42, I don't know, something like that. It's a lot. And I went to public school all through growing up, and then I went to Boston University for 1 year and did horribly. I was not ready for college, and I was in ROTC and ended up having to drop out of school. I went to work in a factory for a few years, and I went back to school where I went to Franciscan University of Steubenville, where I got a theology degree, and then immediately came out and I started working in journalism. And I've worked in all kinds of journalism, all kinds of media. I started with the first online Catholic news service, Catholic World News. I worked for Catholic World Report magazine, where I eventually became the editor. I've worked in social media. I ran an archdiocese social media account. I've been a radio producer and host. What else have I done? And then podcasts. And I've made videos and all that sort of. I've done, and I always like to say I've done everything except TV. And I suppose technically I haven't done movies. I haven't made a movie, unless you count that thing I did in high school with my buddies with cable access.
That does not count.
Where we made parody Star Trek TV series, which was a whole lot of fun. And Billy Parisi's out there. Billy, if you've got those tapes, I really want to see them. But that's going back somewhat like 30 some odd years. So that's me to today. Now, obviously, I didn't talk about us or our kids. This is sort of my background in media. But Melanie, why don't you first, before we get into us and the kids, how about a little about your background?
Well, I grew up in Texas. I'm from Austin, and I'm the oldest of four kids. I went to parochial school from first through eighth grade, and then I went to a public high school. Then I went to the University of Dallas and spent a semester in Rome as most UD kids do. Then I got a job, stayed in the Dallas area after graduation, got some several different jobs. And then eventually I decided to go back to school, and I applied to one grad school, Boston College, because I wanted to do Irish studies. And I really didn't want to go to Notre Dame and live in Indiana. Boston seemed like a really cool city, metropolitan, on the East Coast. I'd never been to the East Coast before, never been to New England. And so I applied, I got in, and I packed up my things, and I got on a plane, and I came to Boston sight unseen. I did not visit the campus before moving here. I had one friend from UD who had already moved to the Boston area. She was living in Salem, and she was teaching physics at a local high school. And I asked her if maybe I could sleep on their couch for the summer while I looked for a place closer to Boston College.
Yes, Salem is not close to Boston College.
Not at all. And, well, they actually had a spare room because their roommate had just moved out. And it turned out that the landlord was willing to tutor me in Irish, and I was getting a degree, by the way, in Irish studies. It was a beautiful house. Salem is a beautiful city. And I never ended up moving closer to Boston College. I just commuted for the 2 years that I was working on my master's degree. And my roommate at the time, Megan, was volunteering at the local parish with the youth group. And that's where I met Dom.
Yes, we met in the pew. So technically, we were introduced to each other. During the sign of peace, even, I think, was the first time.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much it.
But technically, we knew each other. We met before that, except neither of us remember neither of us remember each other at this place, but we both remember being at this event. Before that mass, there was this, the youth group went to this mass on the beach on Martha's Vineyard. It's so very New Englandy and so very life-teen. And so it was a bunch of life teen groups. And so, you know, drive down to Falmouth, get on the ferry, go across. And there was mass on the beach. And then after that, a whole bunch of us went back to Salem. We actually went to Marblehead and we sat on the beach there. And just the young adults, volunteers. And someone had a guitar. Andy playing guitar, I'm going to gather.
Right.
Andy
Although
Flatters.
I think that's actually a separate event. I think that...
That was after the whale watch.
Right.
Okay, but we were both at these events, but neither of us remember the other person at this. But there is photographic evidence of us being
I'm not sure that we actually spoke to one another.
Right.
We were in proximity.
Right, so we were near each other at these events. But we met at Mass, which is nice. I like that. I like that
right.
story.
So we exchanged the sign of peace, and then after Mass, we had a formal introduction. Megan said, "Melanie, this is Dom, and Dom, this is my roommate, Melanie."
And I said, "Hubba hubba." She's tall.
And we sort of knew each other casually for several years.
Yeah. I mean, we were just part of a group of friends. And then one day I was living with Paul, my friend Paul Goyette, up in Salem. And Paul and I were both single and pathetic. And I remember us sitting down in his living room one day, like one afternoon, like watching a game or something. And both of us like, "Man, we got to get girlfriends." And so we started, you know, like, who should we ask out? I said, you know, I had run into you at the grocery store at Crosby's.
I do remember actually running into you at the grocery store.
And saying hi. And I remember thinking, wow, she's really nice. And so I said, I think I should ask her out. But I was really nervous. And I, like, you know, I can't handle rejection. I just can't. And so I called you on a pretense that a group of us.
Yes, a pretense.
Yes, this was the pretense.
False pretense.
A group of us are going out to McSwiggin's, which is an Irish pub in Salem, so how could she resist? We're going to McSwiggin's in a few days. You want to join us? Oh, sure. So I'm at McSwiggin's and by myself.
I should have known, actually, because you insisted on driving me.
Yes.
I, it was not presented to me as let's go on a date, but you did insist on picking me up and driving me.
Yeah, yeah, because I was inviting you. So that would be the polite thing to do would be to come and give you a ride, because I knew you didn't have a car. So I said, oh, I'll pick you up. So we got there, and no one else ever showed up. I don't know where everybody was. Maybe they're at the other Irish pub in Salem. Maybe they got cross signals. No, I didn't invite anybody else. And then we talked for hours and hours, and we really hit it off. But even then, I mean, we didn't start dating then.
No.
No, we were friends. And then I had the Bible study. That's what I was leading the Bible study in my at my house for a while. And after the Bible studies, you and I would stand at the door talking.
My hand on the doorknob, my backpack over my shoulder, ready to go home because I had to go home and grade papers. At that point, I was teaching at Salem State. I had finished my degree.
Right. And you would be, we'd be standing there in the doorway for hours, literally hours talking.
Hours.
So I was ready to be dating, but you were not.
Well, yeah, I had my master's degree. I was a little bit burnt out by the end of my master's program, and so I didn't apply to PhD programs, but I had in the back of my head that I was going to eventually get a PhD in English. I just had to figure out where and in what. And so in my head, in my mind, I was in a sort of temporary holding pattern while I figured out my life. I wasn't dating anyone, and I wasn't really interested in actively pursuing relationships.
So I just kept at it. So we would go out for dinner, but it was just friends.
Just as friends.
And movies and...
Of course, I was poor, so I often let you pay. But we were just friends.
Creating a sense of obligation. So we'd go out to dinner. We'd talk till the wee hours. We'd spend hours sitting in front of your house in my car talking. you know, just... And eventually... And I remember you actually even telling me at one point how, like, you're going to go get a PhD, and that's probably what you're going to do. So that's why you're not interested in a relationship. I mean, I had to fight through some pretty discouraging signs for a long time. And so that was about a year, wasn't it? I think it was a year from when we started hanging out.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Till you officially let me say we were dating, which was it Holy Week? Holy Week of 2005?
Four.
Holy Week 2004. So you moved to Massachusetts in 2000.
2000, right.
So, and it was 2004 that we started dating. And then by that December, I came to Texas for Christmas.
Right, to meet my parents because you hadn't met them yet.
Yes. Yeah, and for anyone who wonders, like, meeting Melanie's parents, it wasn't like I have to pass approval. It was, oh, we're ready to welcome you into the family.
My parents are very laid back, and
yeah, your dad couldn't care less.
It's your life, whatever.
Yeah. Your mom was before by the time I was leaving, your mom literally said to me, "Well, I hope next time we see each other, there'll be some more news. I'd be very happy if there were."
Yeah, that sounds like mom.
Yes. It's a very encouraging sign. I mean, it was, things had were progressing really well because, let's see, there was the accidental proposal.
Oh, when we had been to Chili's and you had had
too much caffeine.
Too much caffeine.
A lot of Coca-Cola.
Not alcohol, mind you. Caffeine.
Caffeine. Yes, I was hopped up on Coca-Cola. And
and you said something like, we should get married. And I said,
hubba what?
I got mad because that's not something that you joke about.
Yes, yes. In retrospect, that well, I think that wasn't bad. I think it was more. In retrospect, I was sort of trying to feel out the waters a little bit.
Uh huh.
So the ring was what, March?
You're the one who keeps track of dates. Yeah,
it's pretty sure it's on the calendar somewhere. I put it on the calendar so I remember these things. And I think, so the ring would have been March, and that's a whole story.
Right.
So we were going to Daily Mass together at that time.
Yeah, I would get up, go to Mass, and then go to campus and teach my classes.
Yep. So we were going to daily Mass at Immaculate Conception in Salem, where my good friend, the late Father Murphy, our wonderful friend, who we miss very much, he would celebrate Mass with us most of the time, of course.
Right.
And it was 9 o'clock Mass, and so I had the ring. I was waiting in the parking lot, waiting for you to show up. And the plan was we would go to Mass together. And at the end of Mass, I'd ask you to stay with me. And then I would propose to you in front of the tabernacle and then get a blessing from Father Murphy.
Right. That was your plan. I had no clue.
She had no clue. Because for whatever reason, well, I know every reason, the guardian angel and Holy Spirit made me stay in the car waiting as opposed to going in and waiting. Because if I'd gone in, I wouldn't have had my phone on or with me. My cell phone rings. And
I had locked myself out of my house, which was not an unusual occurrence. But yeah, I had to walk down to the grocery store and use the phone there because I didn't have a cell phone at that point.
Yeah. It was pre-everyone having a smartphone days. And so what so all I could do was I had to laugh. So I'll be right there. So I left the parking lot, drove down, picked her up at the grocery store, drove up to the apartment, and we had to figure out how to get in. And then that apartment, the Linden Street apartment,
my bedroom windows were all locked, and the front windows were all locked. And there was only one window that I could actually climb in, and that was my roommate's window.
And it was a small window high up on the wall in the back of the house. And there was no way I was going to get either up or through it. That wasn't even a question.
So you boosted me through the window.
So
I tumbled down onto my roommate's bed and then went around and unlocked the door.
And then we went into the kitchen where I knelt down on one knee and proposed to you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Breaking and entering an engagement.
Although really, there's a little bit of a backstory because we'd been talking about marriage pretty seriously.
Yes.
Before that.
You knew it was coming.
Well, in fact, the first time we actually seriously started talking about it was when I found out that my roommates were both moving out and I was going to have to find a new place to live.
Right, right.
And you having just gone through that the year before, we knew how bad the housing market was in Salem.
Finding roommates and all that sort of stuff, yeah.
And I didn't have money to get a place on my own. I needed to have roommates.
And if we were going, and if we were heading toward marriage like we thought we were, the idea of you getting a roommate only so that in a couple months you'd get married and then move out, that just seemed, so we knew that we had to make a move now.
So you kind of said, well, what if we just moved in together, meaning let's get married.
We're not moving right in before marriage.
And I think we sort of started looking at the timeline of when my roommates were moving out, and we had 5 months.
Yes, August. So it was had to have been March because we got married in August, and it was a quick turnaround. We got engaged. I gave her the ring. We went to Father Murphy. We said, can we do this? He said, we can do this.
And we did.
Yep. Was there something about strawberries that he talked about?
I don't remember strawberries.
So, because another part of my story is that I used to live in the rectory at Immaculate Conception Church with Father Murphy and the other priests. I rented a room for several years, which was awesome. It was a great place to live. But I did get a chance to see the life of a priest up close. And there was seeing all the couples come in for pre-marriage counseling, but there was something about like delaying gratification is like waiting to eat good strawberries or something that he would talk about to the engaged couples. I don't think he gave that talk to us. I don't think he bothered. There's a whole lot he knew he could skip over with us.
He pretty much skipped over we went through the marriage prep questionnaires and things, but he was used to seeing us at daily Mass, and
he knew me, he knew you, he knew us very well. I mean, there was right. It wasn't like he needed to get to know us, and so everything came together quickly. We had a very pretty, I'd say, relatively simple marriage, a wedding, but not marriage, yes. Wedding. Marriage has not been simple, but the wedding, but the wedding was simple. We got the Polish American Club,
right,
with that really great caterer.
Good caterer, nice Italian style.
Yeah, buffet style, we got.
My sister's best friend from high school did the flowers, which we bought at the grocery store and then picked some off of the side of the road. And we had a friend of a friend make a cake.
We had a friend do the photos, although I'm grateful for Bill, but if I'd been working with George by that point, George would have done the photos.
Right. That would have been nice. It was very simple, very low key. We also had a friend sing
at the wedding. Yep.
Alice.
Yeah. Yeah. Alice is wonderful. She's a beautiful voice, beautiful musician. We didn't have a DJ. We had an iPod. We were one of the first people I know who ever did an iPod instead of
DJ. Yeah, your family was very skeptical about skipping the DJ and going with an iPod.
I have an Italian family. The DJ's personality is a key element in all weddings, which is why we didn't have a DJ.
And then I didn't have to leave my apartment because you just moved in with me.
I moved in. In fact, I moved. So our wedding was August 15th. Not 15th. 13th. I always have to think about the assumption, because the assumption was 2 days later. August 13th, but I had to be out of my old place that I was living by that point with Doug.
Mike.
Why do I call him Doug? Because he reminds me of Doug Heffernan from King of Queens. That's what it is. Mike. Okay. Thank you. And I'm sorry, Mike. Mike. But you are a lot like Kevin James. So I had to move out there end of July, so I was pretty much homeless for 2 weeks. I moved all my stuff into the apartment.
And you had your desk and your computer, and you were coming to my apartment.
To work. I worked from home. That was my job, was to work from home at that point.
And then you were sleeping at your sister's on her couch.
Yeah, the futon, for 2 weeks. That was a long 2 weeks. we were essentially already living there, except I wasn't sleeping there.
Right.
But I was spending all my days there. That was a big part of our courtship, our dating, was the fact that you as a professor had a lot of free time during the day, and I worked from home,
right,
that whole time, and I'm not working from home
now. I spent a lot of time at your apartment grading papers.
Yeah, I remember. It wasn't the election of Benedict the 16th. We weren't in the same room. No, we were actually different places. I called you.
I was in my office working.
Okay,
and you called me.
But I remember something else where we were at Mike's, and you would sit on my bed grading papers. I'd be sitting at my desk doing work and just hanging out, ordering a pizza, you know.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Or cooking dinner together.
Oh, cooking. Yeah, we did a lot of that. So that's how that all began. And then in pretty rapid succession, Isabella, and then Sophia, and then
Benedict,
and Anthony, and Lucy. And Lucy was the last one, so there's five of them. And Bella just turned 13, and Lucy is now 6. So we had 5 kids in a short span of time, and then none since, obviously. And then, so now here we are. We've since moved to south of Boston, so we moved initially from Salem to Peabody, which is just the next town over, and then we were there for a year. It was sort of a transition because our apartment went condo. And so we moved from there to here, where we have a house, a little suburban house. And now I live much closer to the rest of my family. They all pretty much, apart from my sister Evelyn, who lives in Peabody, and my sister Francesca, who has lived in several places, but right now lives in Maine near Portland. Otherwise, everybody else lives within, you know, one or two towns away. So we're all pretty close here. Whereas your family is all way down in Texas.
My family all live in Austin.
Except?
So my sister, who lives in the Dallas area.
Right.
But yeah, my brothers and my mom and dad are all in Austin.
But they come to visit, which is, well, your mom and dad come to visit, and Tree also comes to visit.
My brothers do.
Yeah. They can come and visit.
Anytime. Our door's always open.
Yes. I mean, there's no place for you to stay. This is a small house. But I mean, you could stay here. But there's no place for you to sleep with Tim to sleep with Amber here, him and his wife, or Stephen. And I would imagine Michaela would come with him.
Right.
So, but they're welcome to come up to New England. We'd love to have them and show them around. So that's us, the five kids. We homeschool our kids. We've always homeschooled them.
Right.
There's never really been any.
In fact, we started talking about homeschooling before we were actually dating.
Yes.
We pretty much decided what we wanted to, like, what kind of family life we wanted to have. And before we were dating, your roommate got engaged. Paul got engaged
to Rose.
And so watching them go through the engagement and wedding planning process, we spent a lot of time backseat driving and sort of talking about how we would do everything slightly differently because we're very different people.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not that what they were doing was wrong or anything like that. It's just different from
us. Not our style.
Right. I mean, everyone does their style. And I mean, their wedding was really nice.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
That was one of our first dates. In fact.
Was that really? Yeah. Because when's their anniversary? Must be in the spring.
I remember you went with me to buy an outfit for their wedding.
Oh, you? No, that wasn't one of our first dates because that was in the fall. Because the night we went to buy that dress you wore to the wedding was 2004, October, Boston Red Sox going into the World Series for the first, like, they have this was the first World Series I won in 86 years. And I'm standing in Filene's or Jordan Marsh or some department store.
Macy's, as
the Red Sox are up against the Yankees in game 4 of the ALCS, trying to follow along as they're coming back from this. Like, it was the greatest comeback in sports history. And I experienced it on my cruddy little flip phone. Trying to, you know, remember the old, like,
right.
The old really bad internet on crummy flip phones, trying to follow?
And I could care less.
And the only other guy in the entire department store who wasn't working there was some British guy who didn't know what was going on, just kind of wandering around. And I'm sitting there jumping around like a madman. Yes! Oh, Big Pappy! Woo! Hit the home run! And, So that's why I know it was not one of our first dates. It was in October. But I remember that the wedding was really nice. That was a really good time. But yeah, we did get a chance to spend a lot of time talking about how we would, not only how our wedding would be, but how raising our kids would be and what our philosophy of marriage and family is like. And very early on, I mean, I wouldn't say I was settled on homeschooling. Your philosophy, you convinced me of a lot of things.
Right. I was pretty passionate. At that time, I was teaching. I love teaching. My vocation is teaching. And I was doing some tutoring to supplement my income because you don't make a lot as an adjunct at a state college.
Nothing. Poverty wages.
Yeah, pretty much. I was living in poverty. But my favorite student of all the students that I tutored at that time was this homeschooled kid. And I was tutoring him in Latin, and most of my students it was very hard to get them to focus for the whole hour of our tutorial session. And he was doing a correspondence course in Latin, and his mom didn't know anything about Latin. And so he needed help. And I think I spent 3.5 hours with him the first day. And then his mom said, well, it's time for dinner. Can you come back another day? And I thought, wow, this homeschooling thing is pretty intense. Like, I really like this kid's work ethic. I like their family's lifestyle. His dad was actually a boat captain, and they spent the half of the year in the Caribbean and the other half of the year in New England.
Not jealous at all.
No. I kind of sort of wanted that lifestyle, but that didn't really pan out.
I'll be a boat captain tomorrow.
But between him and then a girl who I had met on retreat at one time who was homeschooled, I didn't really know much about homeschooling. I didn't really know any other homeschooling parents. But I was really impressed by these two homeschool graduates that I'd met. And I thought, you know, this is something I could see myself doing. And then I went a little bit crazy.
Then we went and had 5 kids that you all have to homeschool at once. I mean, but we've never really, I mean, apart from threatening them to send them to school when they don't do their work, which is a bit of an empty threat, we really never have considered school. And now, we're not rabid homeschoolers from the point of view of, this is the thing everyone must do. This is the only kind of schooling you could do.
Right.
Everyone chooses the thing that's best for them and their family. Not everyone is cut out to homeschool necessarily as a parent or as a kid.
So right. whereas I'm kind of geeky about educational pedagogy and philosophy. I like reading about this stuff and thinking about it and fiddling with it. I could never, for example, do a curriculum in a box because I'd want to change everything.
You've not taken the easy road with homeschool. The easier road is you buy the school in a box. They follow the workbook. They do some stuff online. They do tests online. They submit essays.
And somebody else does the grading.
Right. Right. No. And I mean, my sister, Evelyn, who has 8 kids, that's what she does and works for her. And her oldest has just recently graduated. In fact, they had a graduation ceremony in Virginia for the kids in the school in a box.
Curriculum. Right. And it's great. It works for a lot of people.
But you've not taken the easy road.
No. I'm masochistic like that. I love it. I feel like I was born to teach. When I was younger, like I said, I was the oldest of 4 kids. And I spent a lot of time teaching my younger brothers and sisters. I read to them. I was taking Latin in high school, and I taught my brothers and sisters Latin on our summer vacations, like driving through the...
Nerd.
Driving through the mountains in Colorado, teaching them Latin conjugations. All 3 of them, my 2 brothers and my sister, took Latin in high school, mostly because of me. So,
well, yeah, you already made them learn it. They might as well get some grades for it.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I think I was born with a teacher hat on my head.
So we homeschool, which gives a lot of flexibility and gives us a lot of opportunities to do things. We kind of homeschool through the year in the sense of we don't really stop for the summer, but
no,
we take plenty
of
breaks. Yeah, well, plus we take plenty of breaks. Like we'll take a day here or there, or there'll be a week where a child is just not able to do whatever, and we take some time and we take our time with it, and rather than feeling the pressure of we've got to work to get to done.
Lots and lots of mental health days, let's just say.
And not always for the kids. but also we have the, you know, we take that opportunity to go to museums, or we drive to places, or if an opportunity comes to take a trip like we did last fall where you had your family reunion in Kentucky.
In September,
we drove, I always forget what it is, like 11 states in 14 days. 2,500 miles.
Right.
You know, and we got to visit with friends, and our kids got to connect with friends, and we visited all kinds of cool places. Andrew Jackson's home in Nashville, Tennessee.
Camping in the Smoky Mountains.
Right. We almost got to Gettysburg. We're going back, but someone got sick, and so we had to come home. But so there's a lot of opportunities. We go to museums. We always have museum annual memberships at different museums, different ones every year.
The Museum of Fine Arts is my home away from home.
Yes, we always have a MFA family membership, but we also will, like this just, we just are, this past year, we did a membership with Mystic Seaport in Connecticut, which is a living history museum of a working whaling town, right?
A maritime village.
Maritime village, yeah. Awesome place, really amazing.
They have a whaling ship. They have
several ships in the water.
A Viking ship.
And a Viking, including a Viking ship. And they have a blacksmith, and they have a sailmaker, and they have a clockmaker.
Barrel maker.
And the replica of the Mayflower 2, is being restored there. So they have a boatyard where they do restorations. And so that's being restored there. So that was really neat. We've been down there 3-4 times this past year?
3 times.
3 times? Okay. Yeah, we went once with your mom. So it's really, really nice. So we do that. We've done the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston, which is an amazing museum.
The Peabody Essex in Salem.
Oh, yeah. Another great museum, which really specializes in Asian art. Then we had...
Museum of Science.
Yeah, we have zoos.
Boston has a great Museum of Science.
Yep. We have the Franklin Park Zoo. That's right. And so all kinds of things. And you know, we've got other things planned. We're going to, this summer, we're going to go on vacation to Gettysburg, I mentioned. That's where we're going to get back there. We are going, we're trying to figure out before the show, was it 3 or 4 years ago, we went to the first half of the Freedom Trail, which goes from Boston Common to Faneuil Hall. And the other half of the Freedom Trail goes from Faneuil Hall to Bunker Hill in Charlestown.
Right. You go to Paul Revere's house and the USS Constitution.
Yes, my favorite thing in all of Boston.
For 3 years, at least, we've been talking about this year we're going to do it.
Right.
And we never get around to it.
Well, finally, I have a job and a situation where I can build my schedule around taking a day off. Like my last job, I couldn't really, I didn't have that freedom to do that. Like
to do the Freedom Trail?
I did not have the Freedom Trail freedom. So, so those are some things we're going to be talking about, actually, in this in the podcast, what you can expect from us. We're going to talk about we're always going to interesting places, whether it's cool museums or it's a park where we go for a hike or
right.
outdoors or things like that. Or you do a lot of homeschool outdoor activities, like the sciencey things at the beach or the herring run.
Right. Our most recent trip was to see the daffodils blooming. Evidently, during World War II, there was a bulb shortage because they weren't coming from Europe. And so someone planted a whole bunch of daffodils. And I've forgotten his name. And they're still there. Fields and fields and fields of daffodils.
Right. And it's a farm outside of Boston.
Like a William Wordsworth poem.
Yeah. Who knew? So, yeah, so a lot of these, we're always going to these little places and finding these interesting places to go, and so we'll share those with you. We, as a family, we love to cook and eat. We're both adventurous cooks, always trying new things, new recipes.
And some of our kids are adventuresome, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do a pretty darn good job of getting our kids to try things. Now, I mean, some of them don't. Like, Ben tries. He does try things. But he's better than he was. He was a kid who would only eat the blandest of foods for a long time. And then we have one child, Lucy, who has allergies. Corn, dairy,
eggs.
Eggs.
Wheat.
Wheat.
Peanuts.
And peanuts. Is that?
And other tree nuts.
And other tree nuts. I mean, corn. It's everything. I mean, corn. And it's not gluten. It's wheat. So even gluten-free wheat, still allergic. Not deathly ill, thank God, but enough that it causes breathing problems and rashes, and we have to be very careful. So we'll share some of our challenges and some of the things we've discovered through that. In fact, some of the tastiest things you've made have been as a result of trying to find ways of making foods that she can eat. Like almond flour in desserts is a revelation.
It's brilliant.
And who knew? Like in Spain, some of the most popular cakes are almond flour cakes. I mean, who knew? I mean, I love hearing about that. We'll talk about movies and TV shows and books. And now, obviously, in a lot of my other podcasts, I talk about movies and TV shows. But we share certain interests in common, certain shows we watch separately.
Right, like you don't really watch all the period dramas at all.
I do not watch Downton Abbey, no.
No, or Call the Midwife.
Oh, God, no. I'm not watching a Call the Midwife show. No. So, and you're not watching, I don't know, the latest Star Wars show, necessarily.
No.
Yeah.
But we like Doctor Who, and we watched Person of Interest and right. Lost.
The Rookie?
The Rookie.
We watched The Rookie. And we're going to be watching the new Good Omens show, right. Starring David Tennant, based on Neil Gaiman's book.
I'm watching it for David Tennant, really.
Well, me too. I mean, come on, David Tennant's awesome. I watch anything with David Tennant. So we'll talk about movies and books. We both love books. Melanie is a even bigger book nerd than I am, and I'm a pretty big book
right.
nerd. I mean, if you could see the office we're sitting in, there's something like 1,500 books in here.
And that's just one room.
And that's just one room. We have bookshelves in other rooms. We have a house in order to house our books. So I say we didn't get married. We merged libraries. But we have books that we love in common, books, interests that we have separately. I mean, you love poetry. She's a poet. She writes poetry and reads poetry. I'm beginning to appreciate it. After
I can make anyone appreciate poetry.
After some years of marriage, I'm starting to get there. Art. We love art together. We go to the museums a lot together. So we love art and music. And we'll share some of that with you, some of our interests and things that come up. We'll talk about some current events as they come up. And we're not going to be like a super current events podcast, I don't think. But sometimes things come up that are relevant to us as a couple or as a family in the world. We'll talk about our faith. We're both Catholic, of course, and our Catholic faith is at the core of who we are. And a lot of our conversations between us is about our faith and Catholic faith and about our impressions of things going on in the church and that sort of stuff. So we'll share that. And then the struggles and triumphs of raising 5 kids to be good Catholic adults while keeping a strong marriage. I mean, that's it's kind of...
And not going crazy.
And not going crazy. So that's pretty much covers what we would like to talk about. And we'll talk about other things too. Other things will come up. And we're always, you know, love to get feedback and interest from folks, what they want to hear more about or get our opinion on something.
Ask us a question. Ask us anything.
Yes. So specifics about things that will be in future episodes. We'll talk about our upcoming vacation at Gettysburg and about going into Boston. We're involved in scouting. Our boys are both Cub Scouts.
Right.
And I'm a den leader. And we'll talk also about our girls becoming Scouts, BSA Scouts, not Girl Scouts. And I know that's somewhat controversial, so it'll be interesting to discuss that and to get your feedback on that. We've talked about it, and we feel like this is something that can work the way it is at the moment. And it's also our girls want to do what the boys get to do.
Yeah.
They don't want to sell cookies.
They like swords and bows and fire and camping and hikes and
climbing trees. And yes, and that's going to be a big part of it. Just the our kids' life of adventure, whether it's the adventures they have in our backyard or the ways that they want to go out on adventures out there. That should be, I mean, Isabella's being involved in something right now, which we will talk about it's sort of a live action role playing.
It's live action role playing wilderness survival.
Right. They're learning. It's a wilderness survival school for teens that is
kids for kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause preteen, teen, and even younger, But it's built around a live action role playing game of Robin Hood.
Right. The theme, at least for this run through, is Sherwood Forest, and with a plot line of kids being turned out of their village to go live in Sherwood Forest with Robin Hood and the outlaws.
And so they have to learn all of the outdoor wilderness skills that are involved. And so I love that idea. I think it's really clever. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about like going to our farmer's market. We have a farmer's market here that is in the summer, which we've gone on the beach. That's right. And we've gone to this farmer's market nearly every Saturday. We've had to cut back a little on the Saturdays because of other things that have come up, but, you know, scouting and stuff like that. But nearly every Saturday for the past 10 years when it's in season, you know, between May and November. And we've become that family that everyone recognizes at the farmer's market, but we love it. And there are people we know and people we've connected with. And so there's something, you know, some interesting stuff to talk about with regard to that, including something we just recently discovered. And this is kind of symbolic of the sorts of things we like to do. There was a guy at the market a few weeks ago selling shrubs. Now, not plants that you plant in the ground.
Yeah, not bushes.
Not bushes. The drink, a shrub, was a colonial era, about, you know, the 18th century drink made from vinegar and fruit that sounds more refreshing. It's along the lines of lemonade. You know, it's got that tartness.
It doesn't taste like vinegar.
It doesn't taste like vinegar, no. And it will have, like, whether it's tangerines or other fruits, or cucumber was the one I got. You make a screaming Viking from it. If you get that reference, let me know. And you can...
I don't get the reference.
It's a Cheers reference. Sorry, I'm gonna ruin it. It's from Cheers. So, as we were trying it out, we bought some, brought it home. We were like, you know, we could make this.
This is really, really good. And this is really not cheap. And we can't afford to buy this every week.
Right.
So I could probably do this.
That's really kind of a theme, actually, for us is how do we... So we really like doing these things, but we really can't afford to do all these things. So how do we do it? So
good living on a budget.
Yes. So we will, a lot of the times we're making things, foods from scratch. We use scraps a lot in our cooking. You know, we save vegetable ends and bones from chickens that we cook and make stock from it. We compost. Although that compost has been, we've been making that compost for like 5 years and we haven't used it yet.
Oh, we need to build a garden
bed. We need to rebuild the garden beds, but that'll be another adventure you can follow along with us on. So lots of fun things. We got plenty to talk about, and we hope that you'll stick around with us and hope you enjoy it. So that's it from us. What do you think of what we had to say? And we didn't even really get into the name of the podcast. The name of the podcast is Raising the Bets. We took us a while to figure out what to call it.
I wanted Pirates and Penguins.
Pirates and Penguins. Yeah. When we focus grouped that, it came back as a little too vague. Not like it's hard to connect with that.
Right.
But Pirates and Penguins is a pretty good descriptor for a lot of our family life.
Pretty much the kids all have been crazy about penguins since Isabella was in kindergarten, and they all have stuffed penguins, and they have this vivid imaginary world where their penguins time travel and go on great adventures. They're archaeologists, and they have a spaceship called the Martian.
These stories are actually pretty good. Our kids are all readers themselves. They love books. The two oldest are voracious readers. Three of them are. Ben's getting there, but Anthony and Sophie and Bella are voracious readers.
And then the pirates, because they are pirates.
Arr, sum pirata, as we say in Latin. But yes, so I get that. That's not a bad idea, but someone I trust suggested that having our name incorporated into it. And so Bet, a lot of time when I was growing up, that was the nickname, Bet. And Raising the Bets, we're raising these five kids. So Ray, and it's also a pun on like poker, you know, Raising the Bets. So we're going with that. And then you'll see our great cover art for our podcast is of the five kids waving swords around.
Is pretty much an accurate portrait of our kids.
And the art done by our wonderful friend, Rebecca Miller, very talented. And we are grateful for her for letting us use that. And so it's sort of, we have a similar one of those on the back of our van. We have a big van, of course, because we're a Catholic family with five kids. And then we have a sticker on the back of the van, which just says Raising Them Right. And it has the girls. It was the original one was all girls in tutus with swords.
Right.
Yeah. So that's sort of our philosophy.
Because our girls love sword play and battle scenarios, but they also like dressing up as princesses.
Yeah. They're entirely feminine and get to be pirates. So, yes. And we haven't even talked about Legos and Star Wars and all the things that the kids love. We'll get into all that. Swallows and Amazons. Oh, Swallows and Amazons. So, let us know what you think of this podcast, of the name, of our idea, of what you'd like to hear from us, what we've had to say, by going to sqpn.com/bets, BETTS, or the SQPN Facebook page, facebook.com/starquestmedia, and leave us some feedback, or send an email to bets@sqpn.com, BETTS, two T's. You can find relevant links for our discussion on our show notes at sqpn.com. We'll put the links to our blogs, and you can see a lot more about us on our blogs. If you could, please be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, your favorite podcast app, on YouTube, where you could hit the bell to get notifications. And if you could also write a review in iTunes or one of the podcast directories, writing a review is a huge way to support the podcast that you listen to. When you write a review, it triggers the algorithm and gooses it so that it says, hey, people are interested in this. I should show this to more people. And that's what helps us grow our audience, because we don't have a budget for advertising. You're our advertising. You are our best advertiser. So we appreciate that. So please share the podcast with your friends. And until next time, thank you for listening to Raising the Bets on StarQuest.